listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 23rd. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Welcome to those joining us live. We always appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join us in chat. We appreciate your contributions. Thank you to those listening to the archives. We always appreciate the feedback we get online, too. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence.
Well, Michael, I think tonight we're just going to have an open discussion.
We are. I had to mute for just a second there, and I came back, and I was just saying, absolutely. I think it's going to be kind of a freewheeling discussion about a few things, but you were saying, good place to start.
Good place to start is about just being mindful. Yeah, we were talking about that before the program tonight. Mindfulness, staying present, you know, a lot of stress in the world. And
what's going on, Dr. Vicki Hunter, that is so stressful in the world right now?
Well, I don't know, Third World War, you know, disease, famine.
World War, they come, they go. Famine, what are you going to do?
Well, it's just about honestly getting through your day in a good way. I know I went out to run some errands today, and just the way people are driving, like they're not in their bodies, not paying attention. And I went, oh, man, not a good day to be out. But it seems like that happens more frequently,
yeah.
You know, that there's this kind of erratic sensory thing going on, you know. And mind you, I got to tell you, I did it myself the other day. I went to get water in my measuring cup for my iron to steam some things. And I came out here, I wasn't thinking clearly, and I poured coffee in the measuring cup. And I went, whoa, where was my brain just now? The iron does not want coffee.
Maybe it does. Maybe it'll add a little bit extra, you know. Well, aside from staining horribly your clothes, it might give it a little bit extra pep.
Yeah, right. Stain the clothes, too. Oh, that's crazy. We all do that. A little bit. So it's just, I think, important to, remind ourselves to stay present. And even if that's, you know, sometimes it's a 30-second meditation. Mm. You know, if you're driving and it's stressful, pull over for a few seconds and just take a breath, deep breathe. I've had to do it. You know, I just say, whoa, okay, I'm just going to, you know, take a deep breath here, look around, be in my body, and, you know, it's like, never mind. And I think we all have to do that, no matter how present we think we are.
Oh,
we all find those you know, it's called defensive driving for a reason.
Well put.
So, you know, I know what I'm doing. We've all had those moments too where we're driving, but you don't know where the last three blocks were. You know, like, you know, that unconscious moment.
You're not in the present. You're in the abstract realm for a bit.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think we had talked about this not terribly long ago, the nature of corporeal existence and the fact that in a lot of ways human beings are not corporeal. We live in the past. Sometimes our heads are too far in the future. And we're everywhere but the present. And, you know, I will submit this to you and see if we might agree with one of the tenets of Buddhism, which is, you know, the world is truly a wonderful place when we stop with all of this, all of the things that we invent, all of the problems that we create. And if we just look at the moment and appreciate the moment and appreciate the beauty in that moment, you know, there is paradise, there is beauty, there is wonderful existence. But we add things to the mix. And, you know, well, first let me ask you, Dr. Vicky, what do you think of that notion overall?
What part?
In the sense that, do you think that if we just stop and appreciate the moment and we do just live in that paradise? And moreover, do you think that can be sustainable?
I think what happens is we have moments in a day that if you are paying attention and attentive to your surroundings, we get reality checks. And I had one today, Michael, so it's about being grateful for my life.
Yeah.
I took in my bottles to the bottle depot today, and bless her heart, there's this homeless woman. I've seen her around lots. She's collecting all these. I don't know if you get money back for your bottles and cans, but we do here. So take them in. Check them in and you get paid for them. So here she is sorting out all these, and it was really cold this morning. And so there she is. She didn't have mitts on, so she's pulling her sleeves down to cover her hands. And I'm getting ready to leave, and I was just gripped by this poor young woman. And I had an extra pair of gloves in my car, so I put my car in park. I got out and I said, you know, these aren't very warm, but they're certainly going to help.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, she had tears in her eyes, and thank you, you know. And it wasn't that I did it for. Number one, here's somebody out there suffering. I am not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that moment of, I'm so grateful for my life. Yeah, we all think about the shortcomings and what would we like. I'd like to win the lotto, blah, blah, blah. But in that moment of not pity, not all these other things, she's living her best life as she can in the moment. She's working really hard. That's her reality. But these little things can help, you know? I mm-hmm. Really, it's
absolutely.
Part of me that would like to go find her a home and say, here, live here. But
well, of course.
Again, we're all living our life, right?
And it's unfortunate that things are the way they are. We, you know, we could have a wonderful world if we would just do it. And there will always be things that are, you know, there will always be things that arise in life that are not human-made. We have natural disaster. We have disease. We are a part of nature. That means we contend with nature. And that will continue. But there's a lot of things that we could do. And, you know, to get on a little soapbox, it's about, you know, perhaps making societal decisions about what will we allow. Do we give everybody a base level of dignity? Even, you know, or do we go the other direction? I guess that's about the farthest I'll go into that discussion right now without being overtly what might turn into political. But ultimately, what we want to convey is, you know, that, well, appreciate what you have. Appreciate where we are. There are people listening to this almost certainly are having a better day than, you know,
most.
people in most parts of the world, in the sheer numeric amount of human lives, not only on the planet now, but that have ever existed. And that's something that always comes back to me, is, You know, there are a lot of things that you can argue and debate, and, you know, we're going to have kind of a free-willing discussion, and this might be an interesting area to go, but
I think it's really about getting out of the micro and going macro. And, you know, it's seeing a bigger picture sometimes. We are all projecting what we want for life, and we're living our life as well as we can. But there is this big picture here. And if we do that big picture check-in with ourselves, we're doing all right. And that's where we can start to live in more gratitude. And that is infectious.
Oh, gratitude absolutely is infectious. And it's good for the heart. Well, the thing that came to my mind was this. In that, well, how did I... I had a certain way that I was going to put it, and they kind of left me for a moment there. Oh, no, it's quite right. But in the sense that historically, life is better in really for the majority of humans, regardless of where you live, statistically speaking, to 1,000 years ago or something like that. On average, the human existence now is better than it ever has been. In the sense that we have the basic needs. We have food. There are fewer people dying from starvation, although it still exists, and we still need to address it and challenge it. There are fewer people in poverty, not to say that it's not a problem we need to continue to battle. But there are significant gains, not across just the Western world or the first world, but across the entire world in terms of battling disease and increasing just the quality of life, even if it's insofar as, you know, some things that we would consider basic in our modern Western societies. So that being said, even we can objectively look and say that we have more creature comforts, more access to food supplies, more access to, you know, there's less raping and pillaging going on in the countryside from the ancient world that it was common. But so have we lost anything?
You're giving it a perspective.
Well,
again, what I say of that macro, you know, that big wide picture of, you know.
I guess what I'm thinking about is this, though, is it truly objective that we are living in unparalleled good times compared to overall human history? Or do you think that there is something that might have been lost because we are separated in so many ways from the natural world? Is, I guess, kind of the end cap of where I was going to eventually bring that long-winded idea.
Well, I think that I think there's a lot of disconnect from the natural world, and I think there's always a trade-off, Michael. You know, maybe this is a good time to segue into something that Dr. Zach has written in the chat about fate versus free will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is fate and that free will? Of course, he was also asking about divination in that way. But I think that there is a certain amount of fate in that you're born to a particular place, to a particular family, to a particular culture, mm-hmm. you know, and everyone has their own slipstream, so to speak. We all have our own frequency. That's kind of as I see in fate, but I absolutely do believe in free will, and you can or not, you see. However, free will is, again, relative to the environment that you live in. What is free will? But, oh, I'm going to eat this for supper instead of that. Well, that's kind of free will. Do what you like if you're in a place that has food.
Right.
So it's relative to, again, you know, our situations. And what I want to say, get really tired of, Michael, is people, and I heard it again just the other day, is somebody said, well, the universe must be giving this to me as a lesson. I said, the universe has nothing to do with it.
Well.
people do.
Exactly.
See?
You know,
it's not, that's like saying, why is God doing this to me? God didn't do anything to you. You know, the universe didn't do anything to you. Is catching your own slipstream, and it's what people do with that. We have poverty because people allow that. You know, we have wars because people fight. You know, we have all kinds of problems because people create that.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from the inside of ourselves and what kind of a world we're manifesting. I think what there has always been Michael, is that those elements of humanity that are greedy,
oh, yeah.
that are self-centered, you know, and want that power. And so in that, I think that's part of that dark element to the human species, that it, you know.
Well, I think it comes with awareness. I mean, can you.
It thinks it's intelligent, and sometimes it's not.
Well, in the sense that I have. You can look at the natural world and the realm of animals and species, and you can see that there are some that are friendlier than others. You know, sometimes. You know, animals are just jerks, and sometimes they're not. I would argue that it is humanity's increased awareness, increased capacity for sentience that allows us to exhibit the full spectrum of what is possible in the natural world. You can be the best and purest and greatest, and you can be the worst mm-hmm. and most vile and evil, and it runs the gamut.
Well, I think that I think more than any other time is we are seeing the results of our actions quicker.
This is true.
And unfortunately, some people aren't getting it that, and they say, well, why did this happen? Well, because you did that. Well, what do you mean? You see, because we have been in the past while living in a world without consequence. And look, social media is a really good example of that. And I think a lot of that behavior is now kind of bled over into daily life. Where
well,
if I don't have to live a consequence on social media, I can just be a jerk at the grocery store and get away with it.
I was going to say exactly that it's made it absolutely worse because, especially, I will say that the internet is known for having trolls, people that love to just go on and hate and just say horrible things. And I think it's the anonymity. I think that in a lot of ways, it's things that you would never say to somebody if you were face-to-face with them in real life.
But now they are saying it face-to-face.
A lot of people are. And it's because I think a lot of it's become tribal in some ways. In the sense that I think for certain groups out there, I think especially, you know, certain types of, you know, guys, I'll use my own gender in these examples, that it has become fashionable to be aggressive and, you know, obnoxious in the sense that that's, you know, strength and, you know, alpha. And that's primitive and ridiculous. But
well. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of it, but that's consequence. And so I just want to inject here is that don't feed it. There's always a time to stand up, as Dr. Kelly would say, you
right.
know, preference versus principle. There's always a time to stand up. And if you need to defend yourself, you do that. But, you know, the first line of self-defense is run. You know, really, that's in self-defense training. That's what they'll teach you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in the face of trouble, just run or walk away, but don't feed it. It doesn't mean to back down to protect yourself or your loved ones. It just means don't feed it. The minute you enter into a conversation with somebody who's angry, you're feeding, you know, it's so not to feed that and check in with yourself, like off the get-go of this conversation, Michael has said, how to stay present. And it's to not let these things throw you off your game. And look, lots of things can, but going through our daily lives and that, to live in that gratitude when we see this negativity, the only way that's going to continue to expand is if we feed it.
I completely agree. And
it's everybody just chill out.
And what's remarkable is it goes through generations. You know,
but I agree. I think that relatively speaking, for time immemorial, we're living in the best time. We're living in an extraordinary time, and humanity is doing extraordinary things. I think what we don't look at is the consequences. And Charles just wrote, "Ego is a hell of a drug." It sure is. So we're living in times now that our actions are going to have a bigger consequence than we've perhaps known before.
Collectively.
And individually and collectively. I think that, okay, like taking colonialism for a minute, although I'm not getting into politics, Michael. You know, white Europeans thought, well, okay, life is really bad here. We're all starving. Let's go, you know, pillage and, you know, ponder North America, South America. Let's go out through the world and take other people's lands. But there was always somewhere, some land people could go to, you know. And again, I'm not saying it was the right thing to do. I'm just saying that that's what was done. Even when the Great Depression, you know, people get in their little cars and, you know, fill up their trucks with furniture and their kids, and they go put a tent somewhere. You can't do that anymore. That's why we have tent cities. You know, this is not new. You know, historically, we have been through this before.
Well, and human migration is a natural part of human existence.
Sure. So, I mean, now everybody's governments, companies, they'll have a stamp on every piece of land on the globe.
Right.
So it's pretty hard to, you know, even you go there, well, that's a national park. Oh, you go there, no, that company owns it. You know, oh, that's a farmer's field. So there's nowhere for people to go except collectively into cities or make their own camps. And I know I just read a story that there's some people wanting to build their own little town up in northern Ontario. It's really cold there. I don't know why they'd pick that place. But everybody's mad now that these people bought this land and they're building their own community and want to build a town. And I'm thinking, wow, now they're talking about, you know, the environment and what it'll do to this. And I'm thinking, well, what did you think the cities would do?
Right.
You know, so this is perpetuating. Where do you go? Where do you go when things are all yikes?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, obviously that the problem with any idea of utopia is that it's one person's utopia, another person's nightmare.
Exactly.
And so people think that if we all just got together, we could make a lot of things happen. Well,
sure.
That's true in a lot of ways because there are core things we can all agree to. But we're going to have to tolerate that we're going to think some other people are jerks. And that's just going to be the way it is. You know, I know that there are people out there that look at me and they think I'm a jerk. I look at them, I think, oh, you're the jerk. Everybody's a jerk. But there's so many things I wanted to touch on. We've had such a frequent discussion. We're kind of getting towards the
end here, I know.
Third act here on this. But you know, I was thinking about Zach's comments on free will and the balance of that. I was thinking about the idea that, you know, we do have free will, but the idea of determinism. You know, well, you are your choices are based on, you know, who you are, where you came from, your combination of nurture and nature, and really it's just down to random chance. And I would say that there's a balance between that because that does apply in many ways. We have free will to make choices, but we can only make the choices that we're aware of.
Exactly.
And I think that's
well said.
The one point I was thinking about making on free will. And that's why culture is such a big part of it, because culture, you know, you're raised in something, you're raised in a value system, and there's been this tug and pull between free thinkers and, you know, people that are more wanting to conform to society, which admittedly has evolutionary benefits. There's a reason people do it. It's just the harsher side of it. It is the, you know, we can be better, we can do better, we can think more complex thoughts. So that was, you know, my thought on free will, and I'm happy we had this discussion about, you know, really appreciating mindfulness, especially in this modern age. I think we can get a balance between, you know, like the city and rural existence, because ultimately we're going to have to. We do not have an infinite supply of resources and, you know, things to continue to provide food and water to a growing population, so we're going to have to find a way to live more harmoniously. It's going to be just as simply an imperative. And yeah, those are just the thoughts that I've had coming out of this discussion so far, but it's been, you know, fascinating, and I appreciate you going on these off ramps with me into these different places. But this is why I like some of our, you know, kind of more open discussions and the idea of going.
Well, I appreciate it too. It's a reminder, and I appreciate people making comments in the chat too. Wendy was saying she says, I have a lost and found umbrella box at work. You wouldn't believe how many people's umbrellas are left behind. So after no one comes for them, I use them to give out to the elder or people with babies when it's raining. And that's awesome. See, little things like that make a day. and that we have to keep growing that. That's water it, no pun intended, when it's raining. It's like, you know, it's like watering your garden. It's what kind of garden will you grow? And I will not, and I've said this time and again before, I won't let them have my spirit. You know, you can mess with my head. You can make life physically difficult. You know, I got enough on my plate, but you can't have my spirit. And that's where I want to stay intact and stay present in this, because the only one I answer to is myself when I leave here. And I know that. I don't know how I know that, but whether it's from having near-death experiences, you know, shared death experience with my brother, it's, I know that there is more after this. And I believe we're all going to answer in some way to ourselves, you know, in our own elevation of consciousness. That's my belief. But, and basically, Michael, I don't want to come back and do this crap again. So I want to get it
right. You want to end the cycle?
Well, so I want to, whatever it is that
achieve nirvana.
I'm going to do this time. Yeah, I mean, I want to keep evolving. I want to just keep growing. And I've done, you know, time to time I reflect on my life and the journey, like the overall journey, and I go, wow, you know, that's quite the ride. And I like who I've grown into, because yes, I've had to do the work, and you know, and that's even unfair to say do the work on yourself, because I think exploring the self is it's kind of, it's just exciting and interesting if you're objective about it. It's when you are too prideful or embarrassed and, you know, have shame and those things, that it's hard work, because the only hard work is facing your ego, as like Charles would say. And so I think that journey of life, it makes us appreciate more that I am not going to lose myself in this mess, and I will continue to stand up for what I know to be true for me.
And especially
I'm not going to feed that other stuff. So mindfulness to me is checking in with yourself, you know, and being mindful, even though you put the sugar in the fridge sometimes, or the, you know.
Are you not supposed to put sugar in the fridge? Is that why? Well, actually, I don't know what that, just cold sugar. I don't know if that would do anything to it. But,
no, but I'm just saying, you know, when you put the milk in the cupboard instead, you're just having one of those days.
That's a bad day if you don't remember.
That's because, you know, I'm just like in one of those.
Well, you're not.
That mentioned in the chat a while ago? Sorry if I missed your name, but about, you know, that daytime meditation, that, you know, going through like awake meditations and going through things. I think I spend a lot of time there, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, I think you used the example earlier, you know, you could be driving for a while. There have been times I've been driving for, I don't know, 20 minutes, you know, kind of weaving through town on my way back home. And I get home, I'm like, huh, I don't really consciously remember any of that trip. That's probably a bad thing. But, yeah, hey, made it safe and sound. There was no, you know, bikes hanging off the back of my bumper or anything like that, so. But it's such a strange thing, you know, we can kind of be on autopilot and we can exist in a different abstract realm. I'm sorry, there must be obviously an invader in my house, so I hope you can appreciate the dogs. It adds a little bit of, you know, realism to the broadcast.
Oh, it's real, that's for sure. You know, it's that time of night. I did put it in the chat if anybody would like a card. And we got some names popping up. So I think that we better to it. And as I see, we're starting out with Raven. So not to just suddenly, you know, leave everybody hanging from our discussion, but it's that time. We didn't segue very well.
We don't believe in segues here. We're not part of that crowd where you just smoothly transition from topics to topic. But, you know, it's been fun. We, you know, we had just a few things on our minds that we were going to talk about tonight. I appreciate you going down some different paths with me, Dr. Vicky, and looking forward to some cards. And for a change of perspective, just a call out to Dr. Mike in chat, I believe, who was saying scuba diving, great way to get away. It is wonderful. It's you know, to those that can do it, I recommend it. But that being said, I believe you said that we have Dr. Raven first.
We do.
And I have wild card number 7, Hope. Let's see. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. Always love that card.
I do too. Now, Raven made a very specific request in the chat. She'd love to have an oracle card. I don't know if that means she didn't want a tarot card, but I drew one anyway. So, and in support of hope is strength. So that's your will of spirit, Raven. And so it's just reinforcing hope. So you got lots to hope for.
All right.
Charles is next, Michael.
All right, Charles, it's a wild card kind of night. Wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. Means rising above the low frequency to do no harm and do right to yourself and others.
Well, in support of that, the page of diamonds, page of pentacles, Charles, and I think it might be indicating to me some frustration you might have with work, frustration that in some kind of communication with work, but I want to say this has been a pass, so that rather than frustration and getting a little PO'd or, you know, it's just pause, take a breath, kind of our conversation tonight, check in with yourself, and I think speak on your own behalf in a good way, and it'll go your way. That's what I got from that, so.
All right.
Jamil is next.
Jamil, I have number 12. Spirit, cosmos, and divine energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self, within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
The Hanged Man. I love The Hanged Man.
That sounds
really
mysterious.
Well, always reminds me of Odin hanging on the tree of Yggdrasil. And it's that revelation, that opening up. What will you give up in your life to have more consciousness? That kind of thing. So when you have that divine energy, spiritual energy at work, I think you're having some epiphanies. I do, Jamil. But something that came to mind as I drew that was our conversation with Teresa a few weeks ago when she was talking about that expanding your consciousness, a meditation that, you know, you can kind of astral travel or project, and it's like touching on some other area of your own consciousness, that awakening. That's very exciting. It opens the mind. Wow. All right. That's awesome.
That is exciting.
So, some good Ronnie messages. Is next.
And I have number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
The 7 of spades, or the 7 of swords, can go both ways, right? You can either walk away with more than you expected, or somebody is kind of zapping you more than you like. So it's really about taking a little inventory, I think, for the moment, Ronnie. And I want to say getting grounded and just kind of checking out some boundaries, you know, who's crossing, are you crossing? And we all have to do that. Sometimes we just have to check in with that preference thing. You know, if it's a matter of preference, stay quiet. But principle, you know, it's about stepping up. So I think there might be a situation here that you step up for yourself. That's what I think.
Well said. All right. Eileen.
Yes.
Ah, jinx. All right. Eileen, I have number 20, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It is not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not want what you don't have. Release with patience.
You know, have you ever heard that saying, I'm sure you have, Michael, where you don't want to say anything because you might jinx it? You know, that's what comes up here. The Seven of Clubs. This is how I want to go with this, Eileen. Seven of Wands, Seven of Clubs. Deliberate intent is protect your own dreams and your own goals. Sometimes, like, don't let your energy get depleted. And sometimes the minute we say it, it's released, and there has the action minimizes behind it. So it's about kind of saying, doing, thinking all at once. So project for what you want and protect it, maybe. And I think there might be a situation here where you don't want to tell anybody what you're doing because you might meet with some resistance. So just keep going. You know, focus ahead and don't let anything get in your way.
All right. And
Edward, I think.
For Dr. Edward, I have number 25, Power of Belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
I don't know. You might be taking somebody to task here, Edward. Power of belief and the justice card, what's fair and equitable. So if something's coming, I don't know, it might be documents, paperwork, and I want to say, you know, it should be intellectual, right, when you think about documents, but I want to say the power of belief and stepping up for yourself in a matter of documents and papers. I don't know where that goes, but that's the quick and short of it, is what I think. And it'll go well for you. So, you know, invest the emotions and the belief as well as the information, and it'll come out the other side really well. We have Dr. Right. Jeff next.
Always a pleasure to have you, Dr. Jeff. And I have number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
King of Hearts, in support of that one, Jeff. You know, something tells me you might be taking inventory about what you feel, like that sense of purpose, that sense of purposefulness, like that spiritual, you know, restlessness. Like, what is it now that you might be settled enough and organized enough? You're saying, well, what is it that I really, what's my passion, in other words? So what is it that you want to do? And that excites me because it's a king of hearts. It comes from within you. So I think you're on to something. And something is bubbling up and getting clarity. It's exciting.
Nothing like clarity. It is undervalued. All right. And I believe we have our card keeper, Wendy, next.
We do.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think she's our last card of the evening. So if we missed you, just throw your name out. But Wendy, I have number 45, inspiration and motivation. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration, leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life that you want to live. Drive and accomplishments may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Nine of Diamonds in support of that, Wendy. The Nine of Pentacles. In my view, that's home, family, environment, satisfaction. So inspiration, motivation. I'm going to say you might be wanting to do some redecorating. I don't know if you want to paint your kitchen. You know, it's like spiffing things up a little bit and starting to feel like, oh, springtime. So, you know, cleaning up, changing things around, maybe a little feng shui. And I love those times, you know, when you get inspired.
Hmm.
So in this case, it's domestic, I think. So I think you might be looking at paint colors.
Maybe a touch of reinvention. But, all right. And, you know, I really love that card. And, Wendy, you'll have to let me know. I don't know that we pulled that card in a very long time. But, all right. And,
Audra just popped into the chat.
I'm just
Michael.
About to say, too. And, of course, you know, we're always more than happy to pull a card for Audra. And tonight I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Ace of Spades. The Ace of Swords. You know, you have those feelings, Michael, when you keep doing something, you put a lot of effort into it, and you don't see the payoff, and you wonder, why am I doing this? It just seems to be a lot of effort, and I'm not feeling like I'm getting much back, and then suddenly, oh, that's the payoff. Like, that's the result. So the Ace of Spades simply is success, but through effort. And you have to pay it forward. Sometimes you can feel like you're giving more than you're receiving until one day it just starts getting better and you start to see that result. So I feel like you got to hang in there, Audra. That's kind of what I want to say to you. There is going to be a payoff. You just got to hang in.
All right.
So, yeah.
Good advice for us all.
Well, I know there's been some great chat, and thanks for the feedback. You know, when I was saying earlier about, which one was it, talking about money and work and stuff, and Charles was saying that he,
the changing
change. The rules, at the shift changes at work, and so... he's not happy about that, and he has a dog that can't be left for 12 hours. And I know it's hard to come up with solutions for life-altering moments, isn't it? But I really feel I'm going to reinforce this to you, Charles. If you approach this in a good way, I think you'll get your way. So you'll be able to work something out here. Yep.
Yeah, definitely hope so. And yep. You said, what is it you said there earlier?
Don't approach it with anger.
Well, true. Oh, without dogs, yeah. Life would suck.
that's true.
But, that was Dr. Mike. Yeah. And definitely agreed with Charles, too, because, you know, I've had that issue, too, when you work. But Even though sometimes they bark when you're live on air, dogs are wonderful. They are, you know, truly just generous in their love. And, you know, that's a good example for humanity, especially right now. But I think this has been an interesting discussion. I appreciate you, Dr. Vicky, kind of going along this ride and having some great, you know, love those points. And, you know, every time you kept going on kind of a topic, just really kind of hit me and made me think of a few things tonight. So I hope that those listening, you know, cool. that you enjoyed our back and forth as well.
Well, one of the topic ideas, I think Wendy put it in right at the start of the program in the chat, was talking about vivid dreams. And how about we just do a little bit of dream investigating next week, Michael?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And not just the interpretation of dreams, but how I think our consciousness, and we're tapping into other consciousness. So take the psychological approach, but also there's this other thing going on in the universe. Mm-hmm.
There's always something going on in the universe. The universe is very crafty, you know, always pulling something, always, you know, changing the world randomly on you. Nothing's predictable. You know, one thing is, you know, we're kind of wrapping up, and, you know, we're going to, you know, lead into next week and kind of go into some more of these fasting discussions. But I will say that the fact that there are certain scientific truths that seems to change over time, in the sense that what was once true doesn't seem to be true anymore. And I would need to go into more depth with that, but it's the ever-changing nature of life that makes it a constant mystery. And as Albert Einstein said, the mysterious is the most beautiful thing that we can experience. So with that, that's all I have to say about this subject tonight. I'm looking forward to getting into dreams next week. Any final thoughts, Dr. Ricky?
No, just hang in there, everybody. One step at a time. You know, try to be as present as you can and mindful of self.
Wise words. Wise words. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. We always appreciate you. I certainly do. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.